You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Yes, the program is After Dinner Mints, and alhamdulillah in company of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah Wal Jama'ah, Lucalo on the board, and alhamdulillah, your host, Shafaz Ahmad Khan. Well, that time of the evening where we joined by, that segment called Drive-In with Anwar, and Anwar Qasim. He's an astute lecturer. You know, he lectures in economics. He's also a businessman, and he owns his own workshop. And, you know, he's got so many other ideas. I'll have to discuss that with him soon. Anwar Qasim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful evening?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As best as can be, brother Shafat. A little down just to losing people very close to us. So a little down on spirits, I would say, like a lot of people out there.
Yes, sir. You very recently lost a family member, and I believe it was Harun Khan, the attorney. Anwar, you know, how close were you and Harun?
We work close, you know, when it comes to family, especially family. I think we get to see, tend to see friends more often, more frequently, you know, but when it comes to family, somehow that bond is always there. We meet up at functions, and obviously, you know, with this COVID, we haven't been seeing people lately, so it seems like a time lapse has, you know, as you eradicated relationships, you know, it made everyone estranged. People are fearing for their own, the closest of their cousins, closest of family members. So obviously, you know, it's a distraughtful time where COVID has actually replaced family, love and bond, you know, togetherness, unite, you know, whatever it was, you know, some or the other, I think we used to get by. But, you know, alhamdulillah, somehow we've been tested. We've been trying in very hard ways. And inshallah, you know, time will actually tell whether we'll actually see the end of this result.
Inshallah, yes, Anwar, positive. And I think, you know, many have said that the psychological barrier is something people need to get through. And most of them are getting psychologically drained. They're going into depression. They just can't take it all. And the stress is there. Actually, more people are succumbing to stress. And this lowers the immune system. Perhaps a quick comment from you, Anwar.
No, most definitely. You know, when I studied psychology, you know, they say you wake up every morning, you look in the mirror and you smile to yourself, and inshallah, your whole day will go pleasantly. It's, you know, scientifically, they say it creates a positive aura around you, around the people, you know, and obviously it has an adverse effect if you frown every morning. Now, with that said and done, I mean, I think we all of us, you know, every day we get the messages, we get the phone calls, you know, telling us exactly who has passed away. And people that we have very close to heart, you know, the demise, you know, leaves emptiness that sometimes, you know, somehow it's very hard to fill those gaps. And I think everyone out there is really having a difficult time, you know, trying to come to terms, you know, with grief. And grief is something, you know, it takes a long period of time to lose one person, be it a friend or be it a family member. But obviously now, you know, it seems to be repeating itself so frequently in people's hearts that they really can't, you know, the distraughtness of one person, you know, is overtaken by another and another. So obviously it's going to be a very trying time for people emotionally, psychologically, mentally, and also, you know, it's going to affect people's working relationship and family life also at the same time.
You know, Anwar, we told our Prophet to travel light because we are visitors on this earth. And, you know, many people take heed to that. But, you know, I'm wondering about that person that, you know, has big buildings, maybe got all these cars and, you know, he's got his Porsche, he's got his Bentley, he's got his Rolls Royce parked in front of him. Hey, how hard it would be for him to make parada from the dunya, Anwar. So the hikmah in what the Prophet has told us, I think that's important. A quick comment from you. I'm just checking, you know, your viewpoint. Because generally you give good advice also, Anwar.
No, alhamdulillah, you know, I suppose when Malak al-Maut comes, I think, you know, that question that, you know, what you're leaving behind in this dunya, you know, is not something that actually comes to the forefront of your mind. But also at the same time, when you look at the palaces or palatial houses people have, the luxury cars that they have, I'm not saying don't have it. Obviously, if you've earned it, you know, and inshallah, if you've earned it the halal, rosy way, you know, I'm all for it. You know, Almighty gives people, you know, rosy in different forms, be it wealth, whatever whatever the case may be. But obviously, you know, the less you have, I think the better it is for you, the easier it is to leave the dunya. I'm not saying go out there and distribute all your wealth at one time. You know, but at the same time, you know, do your justice in this dunya. So when the time comes, and the time will definitely come. That is the only thing that is certain in this dunya, that the time will come. You know, so when you close and dipada, you know, at the end of the day, you'll realize, you know what, whatever I've left, I have, you know, concluded my deals, whatever business deals I have done, alhamdulillah, I've done according to Sharia ruling. You know, I've never done anybody down, I've never bad-mouthed, I've never hurt anybody or ill, or thought ill as such, just to gain monetary value out of anybody. You know, so alhamdulillah, I think those are a few of the important things, and we listen to the bayans also at the same time. And how many of us really take heed to that, you know? I mean, the truth would be told that, you know, our people are being exploited by our people itself, and that's an ongoing affair. And yet our people also at the same time, they'll do so much of good, they'll build masjids, they'll do so much, you know, not to pick on anybody, but the fact is, you know, do for your people that has given you the wealth first, before you distribute to the others. Don't pay people a meager wage, and, you know, so people can actually put you on a pedestal and say, oh, Mr. So-and-so has done so much for this masjid, or that they have contributed so much to the poor. Do for the people that actually put you on the pedestal in the first place. I think, inshallah, that will give people peace of mind and heart also, you know, to progress even further than that.
Ameen, Anwar. And yet, looking at our first topic, Kia introduces new logo. So I remember many years ago, long ago, you remember Toyota had that prancing horse and they changed their logo. So what has Kia done different now, Anwar?
Kia is actually moving to electric and hybrid vehicles. And, you know, the new logo is actually movement that inspires, you know. So, alhamdulillah, they are really well set in South Africa and like a lot of other countries, very solid vehicle, very, very good maintenance plans that comes with it. We have discussed it on numerous occasions. Also, at the same time, the reason they are changing the logo is because of the electric and hybrid vehicles that they are coming out with. And one of the vehicles, they actually boast to say that it can actually do 500 kilometers before a fast charge. And they actually stress fast charge because a lot of the electric vehicles that we have at the present moment doesn't really do fast charge. You know, and 500 kilometers on a distance, I mean, alhamdulillah, that is very impressionable. So Kia, once again, is setting the milestone to a lot of other vehicles, you know, out there, or vehicle manufacturers out there. So once again, they have made their mark and they're actually progressing towards that. And obviously, I think, you know, from the business perspective, once a person creates a brand, it goes all out there. And obviously, change is something that, you know, people want to see. You know, so alhamdulillah, they will do very well as usual, Brother Shepard.
Yes, if you look at the Kia and the Hyundai, you know, they look very similar, you know, and maybe, you know, doing things that are the same. I don't know if you noticed that, Anwar, but you'll notice these cars, you know, generally when you look at them, you'll see, you know, they have so much of similarities.
Most definitely, because I think the competition, I think, starts amongst the Kias, the Hyundais as such. You know, likewise, if people remember the Opel Monza and the Daihu, you know, a lot of parts were interchangeable. Then we're looking at Tata from India itself. You know, so a lot of their parts were interchangeable, a lot of other vehicles. So suppose a lot of these things were molds. I remember when Tata actually bought off the molds and they revamped a few things and they made it, you know, look exactly like certain vehicles. So I suppose it's a business ethics that goes there, because to really create a whole new breed of vehicles itself takes a lot of years or manpower and such. But just taking the molds and changing a few things, you know, people tend to actually come into the market much quicker, you know, than just on the drawing board. So likewise, I would actually say a lot of competition, if you look at the luxury vehicles itself, sometimes you have to look twice to actually notice what vehicle it is, to be from the front or the back. Because obviously, most of the times from the front, the guy's got insignias as such, so you know what vehicle. But when you look at the back of the vehicle, you actually have to go close to realize, hey, you know, it might be a Mercedes, a BMW, a Volvo, you know, one of the exclusive. So I suppose, you know, when it comes to keeping the market tag as such, you know, people will actually tend to compete amongst their own in that same level. And that is exactly what Kia and Hyundai is doing at the present moment.
Yes, and when you talk about, you just brought the other topic out, you know, new Tata Safari revealed, and it's a discovery, the sports underneath. Before we get into that, you notice that India in, you know, is big into manufacturing of cars now. And also India, you find that, you know, the motorbikes, the Harley Davidson and perhaps all the many other companies are getting into India. And I believe Hero Honda actually is manufacturing even Harley Davidson motorbikes. The cars, I believe, Land Rover from UK is there in India, and they manufacturing it. So many things. So India is definitely coming strong into the market. But maybe their cars, or the cars that they're catering for, are more the UK market and things like that. Anwar, your comments?
No, most definitely. If we look at the population in the world, we're looking at 7.8 billion. And we're looking at the population of India is about 1.3 billion. You know, that being said, obviously we have an influx of people. We have a population that is very dense. And also, at the same time, I think people understand that the labor in India is relatively cheap. So people are looking at that there because labor intensive, you know, that's where the actual cost of anything in manufacturing actually comes in. But also we need to understand India is also picking up certain standards, like if we remember certain vehicles that was made, you know, like the Datsun Go initially was introduced and made in India, yet India banned it because it failed all the 10 safety tests. Likewise, a lot of companies, if you look at Bill Gates himself, he has moved Microsoft into India itself because I suppose on one side we can say they're taking advantage because of cheap labor, also at the same time, you know, to enhance the economy. And that's exactly what our country needs, a boost in the economy so people can actually find jobs. So really speaking, I think an advantage to India. It's the way they display themselves. Obviously, crime is an issue in every country, but also at the same time, you don't hear of extreme crime the way we are in South Africa. So even if our doors are open to the economic backlash as such, nobody really wants to invest in this country because of so many different ulterior bad habits that this country has itself. You know, so India is a place really you can actually go and venture. And a lot of countries have proved that they are doing very well in manufacturing in India.
Absolutely, Anwar. And we look at the new Tata Safari reveal, and it's a Discovery Sports underneath. Talk to us about the new Tata Safari.
No, alhamdulillah, you know, the sister company of Tata itself is Land Rover. So they're actually using the V8 chassis. So the chassis or the framework of the Tata, the Safari itself, is a Land Rover. So it'll tell you the width, the base is very, very solid on it. You know, it comes in different options, obviously. It has three rows. It's a seven-seater. That's also optional. It comes with a 2-liter turbocharged four-cylinder motor, pushing out 125 kilowatts, which is quite good. I suppose you need good torque, and the torque is relatively nice. You know, and the only disadvantage, I would say, you know, generally when it comes to the vehicle, a rust around the doors from previous experience, those owners who own those vehicles will know they come up with very beautiful, luxurious SUVs, you know, but hopefully they have changed the metal that they've used because previously a lot of people were having problems, even on the brand new vehicles. When it was purchased, you'll find, you know, spots of rust all around, you know, the difficult or strange corners as such, you know, around the windscreen, around the glass, the rubbers as such. So I think that will be the only downer when it comes to the rust because those vehicles tend to rust relatively quickly, you know, whether it was shipped across and that is what's causing the problem or whether the metal they used, you know. So I'm not really sure. But otherwise, a very, very beautiful vehicle. Once again, SUVs has taken over, I think, South Africa. Virtually most of the households will actually, the next best thing or second vehicle will be an SUV. So I suppose, you know, coming to the market, the price range won't be all that bad. It's just over 570,000 rand, which is relatively okay for a car or SUV that offers all that it offers in the 4x4 version.
And then we look at Toyota upgrades taxi safety with the driver commuter guards. I mean, that's good because with COVID-19, so many other, you know, tweaking has to be done. So Toyota has gone into it, Anwar.
Yeah, most definitely. Whether the government will give them some incentive, are we not really sure about it? Because usually when Toyota goes in strike, the government steps in and he reimburses them for losses. I think we're well aware of that. Now, when it comes to where the driver is protected because of this COVID, what about the passengers? I mean, they are the one that actually funds this whole industry, you know, so there's no protection against them. So I'm not really too keen. Yes, I suppose you've got to take your precautions. We don't want a driver to drive, but at the same time, if you look at the taxi taxi, that's on our road itself. That is not the negligence of the vehicles, the negligence of the drivers more than anything else. I think we all experience that on the roads. So the new taxi that is available, obviously, it also is once again a marketing strategy. They have enclosed the driver's compartment so that he becomes COVID reliant as such. You know, also at the same time, it comes with reverse cameras. They've done away with the air conditioning system, where it used to be a central air conditioning system. But, you know, personally, and for many years, I have said this on many, many platforms, you know, they should actually govern all those vehicles to 100 k's an hour. You know, so, you know, the commuters or the innocent passengers that pass away so frequently on our roads, maybe they have a chance from traveling from A to B after paying their fare. You know, so I suppose if they came up with some incentive to that effect where it can actually save lives, I'm not saying COVID doesn't, you know, but the point is, you know, I suppose they would really had a breakthrough in the industry itself.
Anwar, you know, made a very valid point governing the speed of that vehicle. Why haven't they done it? Because the late Dula Umar, when he was Minister of Transport, he mooted something like that. The taxi shouldn't exceed more than 80 kilometers or something like that. Why haven't they done that, Anwar?
Oh, very simply because our government feels threatened every time. I suppose we all know we're one of the only countries in the world that has a thing called legal strikes. You know, so every time our government tries to approach the situation that is needs to be actually revised, you know, we find the taxis blockading, we find, you know, the crippling the economy, and the government really can't handle that either. You know, so I personally feel the government should really, instill a little harsher laws, because it would be told if a vehicle is governed at 100 k's an hour, you know, even the overtaking, you know, will be difficult. The capacity that they carry will also be dropped down to the level that it is supposed to be carried. There's so many advantages, Brother Shafat. You know, it's untold, and I think we'll all agree on the same platform. But when it comes to a business perspective, obviously these people are always rushing backwards and forwards just to get the load, just to make the money for some taxi boss out there. You know, so life is not really something that is treasured, and people tend to take advantage of the situation. Really speaking, the government knows the taxi industry has been exploited, although they have put them in under different umbrellas. Still, our government has absolutely no control. You know, so often we actually hear of accidents where so many lives were lost. You know, and still nothing is done. Yes, the Minister of Safety will be present. You will see him on all the social media platforms as such. I have no reason why he does that. You know, but the day he stands up and, you know, actually benefits the commuters for once, I suppose then people will give him praise.
You know, absolutely, Anwar. And you look at artificial intelligence taking over. Perhaps in the future, they will have, you know, electronics, you know, from a control tower where if a car exceeds a speed limit, immediately they can drop the speed or they can govern the speed and give them an electronic fine, Anwar. Perhaps your comments.
No, most definitely. A lot of vehicles have it. I think we're all well aware of a system similar to a tracker that's being installed in a lot of vehicles, where it starts beeping, you know, and the guy gets a call, you know, be it whichever industry, especially when it comes to this parcel delivery guys as such. You know, but the taxi industry, I think they are over saturated as such. You know, there's too much of taxis out there. You'll find one taxi person, he starts off with one and not very long after he has a dozen. You know, so obviously he needs to fill his taxis, he needs to pay his workers. So there he goes around chasing, you know, and he belongs to a rank and you get a chief and so forth. So everyone gets to make money. The end of the day, you know, the raw deal is the commuters once again. You know, so a lot of legislation needs to be revised and changed in this country if we really want to save lives, or if really our intention is to save the lives. You know, so it's a very, very thin line whether we want to save the lives or whether we should save the lives. So the government needs to really question this, you know, full-heartedly and put himself in a scenario like this poor innocent people out there.
Yes, Anwar. I mean, you know, I've noticed taxis that don't even have a proper hooters. Then you have these rackety taxis. You have these taxis that are from the 80s, haven't evolved. The doors don't even work properly. But they're still on the road, Anwar. And you watch the type of person driving the taxi. He will, you know, he has no respect for the road. He has no respect for anyone. He's just, you know, a law unto himself. Your comments, Anwar?
You know, the irony of the whole thing is every time there's a massive roadblock, you'll find so many taxis that's impounded. But at the same token, when you notice most of the traffic cops will actually pull over the taxis because they're no guaranteed, they will find either overloading or person without his PDP as such or the vehicle not up to standards. And you'll find that somehow or the other, they'll have a small conversation on the side of the road. And next thing, a few months later, you'll see the same taxi with commuters filled up and they're traveling. So what happens there? So why don't you impound that vehicle in the first place? Why do you have to wait for a roadblock so everyone is on look, you know, overlooking this whole scenario? Then only you impound those vehicles. I'm yet to see a taxi being impounded, no, irrespective of the condition. The only time I see it happen is at roadblocks because too many eyes are on all these officers as such. So once again, you know, we got the criminal element that actually steps in from the law side. I'm not actually telling all the guys, all right? No, they're not. But the fact of the matter is, you know, I suppose revenue has to be brought in one way or the other, whether it fills your pocket or whether it fills the government pockets. So it's a very fine line once again when it comes to that.
Yes, and Anwar, time really flies. We've got about 2 minutes to go. Perhaps you can comment on this last article and your parting words. Bad news for motorists as steep fuel prices are predicted for February. And, you know, said that we could be paying 20 rand and litre. Anwar, your comments?
No, very, very soon. You know, our government needs to understand. I know the AE have really set the standards. By February, the fuel is actually estimated to go up to about 80 cents a litre, and paraffin will actually reach something like 60 cents a litre. Now, when we consider a place within like paraffin itself, obviously, people that buy paraffin most of the time, they, you know, the poor people living underneath, you know, low breadwinners as such, you know, or low-income earners. So when it comes to petrol, yes, it's a part of commodity. We've got to use the vehicles to go from A to B, especially in these periods of time, you know. And the price being fluctuated so much. Obviously, you know, our government should be like America once again, because America fuel reserves actually last them anything between around 6 months, you know, their reserves. Our reserves last us a month to 3 months, you know. So we should actually adopt, the scenario of other countries also, where we can actually keep and create an infrastructure that actually keeps fuel. So when the price fluctuates in the world, you know, we can still give the people fuel at a lower rate until it starts settling down again. But obviously, we don't have that. The income are supposed to fund something like that or a venture like that itself. Cecil really doesn't push out and keep reserves as that either. Most of the reserves will start within a month or two in South Africa. You know, so they should actually consider, on a long-term basis. If you look at places like China and Japan itself, their forecast is around 50 years, and that is why they're so successful. You look at places like South Africa itself, our forecast is 5 to 7 years. You look at places like America, it's 10 to 20 years. So that itself will tell you we lack forecasts, we lack a lot of business ethics, obviously, and money goes into a different coffers pocket itself. So once again, Brother Shafan, unfortunately, we're not going to beat the system. We just have to embrace ourselves come February for 80 cents hike when it comes to petrol itself.
Absolutely, Anwar. You and mashallah this evening. Always enjoy you on driving with Anwar. And you drive. You drove beautifully this evening. Have a mashallah evening ahead and talk to you next week this time.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I tell you, Anwar Qasim really, really revving those engines. And it was a perfect drive with Anwar. Hey, he can drive a truck also, people. Yeah. Besides that, he can drive a boat. You saw him driving his boat. He's got a Jeep. He's got a BM. He's got it all, mashallah. And he's got a head that can really give you the up-to-speed news on driving with Anwar. Yes, sir, people, it's gone 9 p.m. Time for us to go for the azan. When we get back, we'll be listening to Muslim news. We've got some lovely clips and comments lined up for you. Let's go for the azan.